Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from our gospel. Someone said to Jesus, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.'" So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, whenever I read this text or any text about the narrow way or a camel going through the eye of the needle, I'm always reminded of that episode of Frasier where Frasier gets an invitation by mistake. It's for someone else, but it comes to his house and he decides to keep it. And it's some place that's like French or something. He doesn't know what it is, so he gets his brother and they go there. And they finagle their way in and find out it's a man's day spa. Okay, and they get this spa day. And they're all relaxed and content. And then they notice there's another door on the other side of the room that's gold. And they try to go in there, and they're stopped and saying, "Yes, you're not gold members, so you can't go through that door." Well, they find someone who's a gold member and get some tickets for that, and they pass through into the gold door, gold room, and it's even better. It's just fantastic. They are so relaxed, so content, until they see the platinum door. And then they try to go in there, and they stop them and say, "No, you're not platinum members." And they wait until the guy leaves, and then they sneak through there and find themselves in the alley outside of the building. Okay. Now, it all shows you how exclusive doors can be a difficult thing and how we all would appreciate very inclusive doors. Now, this what we hear Jesus say today is sounds a little strange to us. It's a hard saying from Jesus. We had that last week. Last week, Jesus talking about fire and judgment, and this week he's talking about a narrow door and people not getting in. And these are not the kind of quotes that politicians are going to use on the campaign trail, okay, to get Jesus to support their campaign, okay? People don't want to hear this. It's a hard saying. Last week was about division during this lifetime, you know, mother against daughter, father against son. Here it's talking about an exclusive door that many will not get through, and this is an exclusion for eternity. He's talking about hell. Now, for a lot of people who claim to be Christians, this isn't really a problem, because you just kind of pick and choose what you like to hear from Jesus and just listen to that. In fact, a huge change has happened in the 30-plus some years of my ministry in this respect, with much of mainline Protestant denominations in the United States. 35 years ago, preaching on this text, all of these groups, along with the Lutheran Church, would have pretty much agreed that, well, it's a hard saying, but Jesus did say it. Now it's very different. Okay. You'd never hear anything like this. In fact, there's four things you usually don't hear if you listen to sermons from a lot of these denominations. Number one, you never hear about sin. All you hear about sin against the environment or the sin of racism or the sin in conjunction with some, you know, cultural movement or something like that. But it's never a personal sin. It's never my sin. And it certainly isn't original sin. You never hear about judgment. There's a lot of judgment. Individuals judging others who don't agree with them, there's lots of that. But Jesus judging us for our sin, never going to hear that. Most ironic thing is you rarely ever hear about Jesus. Now, this is, you know, these are sermons done in churches that have crosses on top of them. You think they'd mention the guy who died on the cross, or at least mention that he died. But if you do hear about Jesus, almost always nowadays you're going to hear that Jesus is an example of a social justice warrior or someone who is a peacemaker. And he's usually, the sad thing is he doesn't even get top billing most of the time. He's usually fourth or fifth after Martin Luther King Jr. almost every single time that I've heard. One thing you're never going to hear is about doors. Because there are many doors, and they are all inclusive, and they all let you in. So basically, there's three ways they can deal with what Jesus says here in this text. Number one, ignore it and preach on something else. Number two, deny that Jesus said it. Someone added it later on. Or number three, and this is becoming more popular, simply say that Jesus was wrong. Everybody makes a mistake once in a while. Well, truth is truth. And to get at this text, first of all, we have to understand who Jesus is speaking to. He's not speaking to a bunch of atheists trying to convince them to believe in God so they go to heaven. He's preaching to people who deeply believe in God, in his word, and in his law, and they sincerely try to live according to that law. That's who he's speaking to. And from that group of people comes the question, will few be saved? And they're hoping to hear a good answer. The answer they want to hear is, well, yes, few will be saved, but you, well, your sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so you got nothing to worry about. But that's not what they hear. In fact, Jesus never really even answers the question, does he? He doesn't answer the question, will few be in heaven? He answers the question, will you be in heaven? Because as we heard last week and this week, judgment is coming. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, the words I hated to hear the most from the teacher were, put your books away, get out a sheet of paper and a pencil, because that meant a pop quiz that I was not prepared for. That's what Judgment Day is going to be for many. None of us know when it's going to be, but some people will be far less prepared than we are. One mistake we can make, it comes from verse 24 with that word strive. Okay, we need to strive to go through the narrow door. And we think, okay, that gives an understanding of why some people are going to heaven and some aren't, because some people are striving and some aren't. And so what's the lesson? Well, you just got to strive harder, right? Do more good works. Go to church more. Read the Bible more. Pray more. We have to do more good works, and then we'll get in, even if it's a narrow door. So it's almost like we picture our good works like axle grease, right? And we get up to the narrow door, and it's awful narrow, and we just slick ourselves down with as much axle grease as we can, and we squeeze against that door until we squirt through. Yay! A little greasy, but at least we got in, right? Well, unfortunately, there's not enough axle grease in the world to get us through the narrow door, and there's not enough good works to get us through either. If you read this closely, this gospel, you'll see the reason why nobody gets in, or few get into the narrow door. Because it says the door is closed. That's why they don't get in. That's why they knock. The first thing we have to understand to really conceive of what Jesus is getting at is we need to understand what the door is. It's not good works. The door is Jesus himself. And that's why it's narrow. Not saved by your works, not saved by the law, not saved by going to church, not saved by going, not even being saved by being sincere about your beliefs. You're only saved by Jesus. That's it. And that's awfully narrow. And you're only saved in faith in this Savior Jesus Christ. That's what makes it narrow too. And I think it's really interesting when Jesus mentions that they'll cry out, well, we're children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? They've said that all throughout Jesus' ministry. And now Jesus says, well, guess who's there? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice how many times in the Old Testament God introduces himself that way. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says it over and over again. So what does he mean by that? What is he telling us about himself? Well, we look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we think, well, they're patriarchs, right? These are heroes of righteousness and holiness. Really? Are they? Let's take Abraham. Well, at first he was worshiping false idols. All right, he hadn't met God yet, so okay, that give him a pass on that one. But then he does meet God, and afterwards, what does he do? He gives his wife away two times. Now, the first time could be, whoops, I didn't know that was wrong, okay? But not the second time. Ask Sarah. She'll tell you all about it. Then God promises through this wife, Sarah, he will have a child, and he believes this, right? And it was that his faith was considered righteous. That's what the Bible says. And he believed, and he waited, and he was patient until he stopped being patient. And then he got Hagar, his wife's handmaiden, had a baby with her, Ishmael. That doesn't sound faithful to me. And then when Sarah has had a belly full of Hagar and this little kid, He's forced to, or he's not forced to, he actually does this. He forces Hagar and this child, his child Ishmael, out into the wilderness to die either of exposure or thirst or hunger, or all three. That's not very nice. So that's Abraham. How about Isaac? Well, he doesn't do a lot, but the one thing that he's really known for is favoring one child over the other, which is always a good idea, okay? And everything that happens in the story bad happens because of that. That's Isaac. How about Jacob? Well, he was a thief, and he was a cheat, and he was a sneak. He stole his brother's birthright. He fooled his father, who was blind, that's really nice, into giving him his blessing. And he stole and stole and cheated all throughout his life. And then just to really make things good at the end of his life, what does he do? He does just what his dad did, and he chooses a favorite child, Joseph, and makes sure all his other sons know it. That's not very nice. So by defining himself this way, when God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what does he mean? He's trying to tell us, I'm the God of weak people who sin, and by my grace I have forgiven them. I am the God of men who do not place their trust in themselves because they know they're no good, but they place their trust in me and my promise. And I'm the God of these men who trusted my promise that has come true in the person of my Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we were baptized, we became part of the legacy and became children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in faith. A faith to see and trust that Jesus is the door, and that we get in not because of ourselves, but because of his sacrifice, his grace, and his love. And faith and trust to know as we go home today that when Jesus comes back, he's not going to say to us, I don't know where you're from and I don't know you. He's going to say, I've known you all your life. And then he will welcome us home. In Jesus' name, amen.